You're on KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara. Welcome to Radio Causeway. I'm Pav.
I'm Tim. This is your weekly showcase, bringing you timely interviews and bridging your world of music.
With increasingly rising costs facing students, such as textbooks and seemingly yearly tuition hikes, students are often choosing to skip meals in order to make ends meet. Lupe Cruz, Associated Students Commissioner of Student Services, and Paul Monge Rodriguez, Associated Students President at UC Santa Barbara, are with us today to talk about the opening of the AS Food Bank.
And later in the show, we've got our weekly Yeah! Free Music Pick, our strange news, and a sampling of upcoming releases. Stay tuned.
Good morning. You're on KCSB FM 91.9 in Santa Barbara and streaming live at kcsb.org. This is Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Pav.
Got a great show lined up for you. A recent survey at UC Santa Barbara polling students found that hundreds of students each day are choosing to skip meals in order to afford their school expenses. In a rapid response, the Associated Students, in concert with other campus organizations, have come together to open the AS Food Bank. Paul Monge Rodriguez, AS President, and Lupe Cruz, AS Commissioner of Student Services, are with us to discuss the new AS Food Bank. Lupe, Paul, welcome to Radio Causeway.
Thanks for having us, Tim.
Hi, Tim. Thank you for having us.
It's a big day. It's the opening day for the AS Food Bank. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to start with some of the numbers that I saw in a recent article in The Bottom Line, talking about the prevalence of hunger at UC Santa Barbara with the students. And you wouldn't normally think outside of the University of California, it's a big time university, one of the great universities in the world, even. The students going hungry? What's the prevalence, really?
Well, in our recent study, we actually surveyed our students, and we found out that a few times a month, about 23% of our students are skipping meals, and weekly, about 17.3%, and every day, 6.3%. And this was based on the 2,150 students we surveyed, and that's how we found out our numbers. And once we found these numbers, we knew that we had to do something about it. So we had conversations with different departments across the university as well as our own, and we decided that it would be the best thing to go about to go ahead and establish a food bank for our students.
Just to put that in perspective, because I mean, a lot of people do skip meals. I didn't have breakfast today. And why is that important? Because it is important.
Right. So we kind of just want to highlight the huge paradox it is for university students at one of the finest institutions in the world that's renowned across the globe, but at the same time, students at the same university are having to decide between having a meal or staying in the university, and we don't feel that that's appropriate in the University of California, and that's why we decided to kind of mobilize around this particular issue.
The survey that was conducted, can you talk a little bit about how the survey came about and how it was conducted?
Well, first we had conversations with directors of EOP and student health and financial aid. After that, we kind of found out there were scattered incidents of student homelessness and hunger issues and people not being able to afford their books or rent. So, I mean, we needed demographics and we needed actual numbers to go ahead and just establish the fact that we really do need a service. So we established a survey that would actually get these numbers, and I mean, this is what we conducted, and this are the numbers, real life numbers that we received.
Being a graduate student, I think I remember getting that survey. It doesn't seem very long ago, maybe a couple months, and it's quite surprising that a survey pulling that sort of information, you collect it, or you conduct the survey, you collect the data, you analyze it, and we already got, today's the opening day of the food bank. It's quite remarkable, the turnaround in the response. Can you talk about how you guys were able to mobilize so quickly?
Sure. Well, we have a lot of allies in staff and administration across the university, and they understand that hunger has been a growing issue, and they've collaborated with us from the beginning steps of developing the food bank. A lot of them actually recommended putting forth a survey so that we would be able to assess the issue of hunger on campus, because it is a really difficult issue to identify, because there's students who don't want to publicly announce that they're struggling with issues like this. So that was the most difficult challenge with getting this started. But after we were able to get the survey up and running, and after we were able to really see what hunger looks like, or that experience looks like here at UCSB, we received a lot of support from administration and moving forward our proposal for finally moving into the University Center where the food bank is now located.
And have you gotten a sense from the students themselves? I know that the food bank is just opening today, but in the run-up to it, have you gotten a sense of student kind of response to the idea of this food bank?
There definitely has in the weeks that since we've begun to announce a food bank, especially right now in the donations phase campaign of it, we've received a lot of emails asking, when is a food bank going to open? Like, I could really benefit from a service like this. So there's been a lot of buildup in terms of the opening day, which fortunately has come today.
Now, a couple of UC campuses already have opened food banks, UCLA and earlier this year, UC Davis. To what extent or in what ways have their examples or enterprises kind of provided you with an idea of where our food bank could go, or what have you learned from their experience?
Well, the important thing is that from the very beginning, these were student-initiated projects. Mm-hmm. It's students understanding that their peers are struggling with a particular issue, so they're acknowledging that fact, and they're kind of mobilizing again to help support their classmates and their roommates and their housemates and everything like that. And I think that's the most special part about it, is that this didn't have to come from a top-down kind of understanding of the experience of hunger. This is a very leveled acknowledgement that our friends and our peers are struggling with hunger on a daily basis.
And in addition to that, a lot of the food banks and other UC campuses are contacting us to establish a collaboration with all of the other UCs to establish like a chain of food banks across California for students.
So today being the opening day, I've said it a few times, what are the hours? Because it's not an everyday thing, and where is it at?
It's located at the third floor of the USEN in room 3167A, and it's going to be open on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and from 1 to 5 p.m.
So it's open now?
Yes, it is.
That's exciting. Did you guys stop by on the way?
I actually did. We have nobody stop by yet because it's very early and right. It is the first day. And the way we're outreaching to our students is by having very strategized targeting of advertising to our students, because we want the students who really need the service to use it. So right now we're outreaching to the Educational Opportunity Program, the Financial Aid Office, Student Health, Counseling Services, and Career Services as well.
You talk about that, the targeting. Who's eligible to receive the help from the food bank?
If you're currently registered UCSB undergraduate or graduate student, and you have a valid access card for the quarter, then you're eligible to use the services.
And you talked earlier before about kind of the self-consciousness, perhaps, of the stigma of expressing your need for assistance, and how does the food bank kind of preserve that anonymity or that protection for those students?
The location of our center is very confidential. Mm-hmm. So, and basically, if a student needs to use a service, it's all based on an honor system. So if you really need the service, you'll go ahead and use it. And we're also trying to go through a referral process with all of the departments on our campus. So if one of the counselors in student health or in financial aid see that a student is struggling with an ends meet, they could go ahead and refer them to this service. And that's the way we're going about referring our students to that service.
If you're just tuning in, you're on Radio Causeway. A recent survey at UC Santa Barbara polling students found that hundreds of students each day are choosing to skip meals in order to afford their school expenses. In a rapid response, the Associated Students, in concert with other campus organizations, have come together to open the AS Food Bank. Paul Monge Rodriguez, AS President, and Lupe Cruz, AS Commissioner of Student Services, are with us to discuss the brand new AS Food Bank. We're going to take a quick song break and come back with more about the AS Food Bank opening today. The track we've got queued up is a brand new one from Porcelain Fangs. The track Huntress, you're on Radio Causeway.
Hi, this is Those Darlings, and you're listening to Radio Causeway with Bob and Tim on KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Bob.
With the increasingly rising costs facing students, such as textbooks and seemingly yearly tuition hikes, students are often choosing to skip meals in order to make ends meet. Lupe Cruz, Associated Students Commissioner of Student Services, and Paul Monge Rodriguez, Associated Students President at UC Santa Barbara, are with us today to talk about the opening of the AS Food Bank.
To think about the experience of students a little bit beyond also just the kind of the food bank. How else has Associated Students gotten a sense of other ways in which students are feeling the pinch of budget cuts?
Right. One thing we wanted to recognize from the very beginning, we continue to do so, is that hunger itself is not an isolated issue, that hunger is very much tied to financial need and other different types of needs that students are experiencing. So mm-hmm. at least on the financial side of things, one thing a couple of members of Associated Students have been working on is extending the availability of student loans. So again, that's just another effort that's in concert with the opening of the food bank, but there's other growing issues like homelessness that we're currently working with other staff and administrators campus-wide to see how we can really tackle that issue and eradicate that experience from campus.
And in addition to that, actually through the survey we did, we found that 10 students are actually currently homeless out of the 2,150 students that were surveyed. So I mean, 10 students out of 2,000 population, that's like huge.
Right.
Well, any students, I mean, it seems right. You don't expect that on a campus.
No, it seems like the university would be failing those students if students are without shelter. I wanted to talk about the funding. We've got the campus, if you're a UCSB student, there's campus elections going on this week. Is there a ballot initiative for this? Where did you guys get your funding from? How is it going forward?
One of our main contributions is through the UCSB Alumni Association. They're giving half of their scholarship funding towards us, and the other half to the senior class gift. So we thank them a lot for that. We're also receiving a lot of donations from our allocations from our student organizations, such as the Office of the President and the Student Initiated Recruitment and Retention Committee. And we're planning to collaborate with IV Tenants Union in the future so that they could also provide funding for us, because they see that it's a project that also benefits the community of Isla Vista and the students there.
And how is that funding used? I know there are plans to eventually hire a kind of part-time staff to man the food bank, but how else? Is it in purchasing items or?
Yeah, so a lot of the initial budget we've used towards setting up the facility, so mm-hmm. buying storage units so that we can stock the food. And the other piece of it is you hit the nail on the head with offering job opportunities. That was another mission on the side, but it was kind of supplementary to the idea of the food bank, is also trying to expand job availability on campus. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I read in the bottom line article about the aims, the long-term aims. Can you talk a little bit about the trajectory of the AS Food Bank and where you guys see it possibly going forward?
Sure. Well, it's within our mission is to, as we said, completely eliminate the experience of hunger on campus. And we really want to be around as long as we're needed. So that's the idea, is we're tackling this issue head on and trying to provide the service where we feel it's directly needed by students.
Well, as of yesterday, the university released numbers on the enrollment, the acceptance, and it looks like California high school students and transfer students, those numbers are going down, and out of state and international students' numbers are going up, which means higher fees for them. How do you see the trajectory of the need of students in relation to the trends that have been happening for the university overall?
In conversation with our international student advisor, he actually mentioned that a lot of the international students are the ones that are being hit the most. And actually over the summer, a lot of the students are actually sending us emails and asking us how can they access the center over the summer. As of right now, we don't know if we're going to have this open over the summer, but if we do, I mean, I think this is going to be the time that it's going to be greatly needed. So outreaching to international students as well and graduate students, because this isn't associated students like founded, but it's also for those students as well, and we want them to know that.
Can you talk a little bit about the kind of wider efforts of Associated Students in concert with the food bank? I know that there's a smart guide being put together. Maybe talk about a little bit about that.
Sure. So in addition to just providing the food service coming from the food bank, we're trying to tie in the offering of other services on campus. So what we've been doing in working with other campus-wide departments is consolidating information about resources both on and off campus that cover things like dental, medical, financial, housing. So there's a number of issues that, again, as we said, are very much tied to hunger. So we're wanting mm-hmm. to give a really provide very holistic resources in that regard.
The elections are happening right now. We can't endorse anybody, but can you talk about the importance of the elections? You both being elected officers, not up on the election this term, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you talk about the importance of getting involved in the elections and otherwise personally and in general for students?
Right. So elections is an opportunity to connect ideas to resources, or being in office is that's what it essentially is. So it's important that folks vote for individuals who they feel that are able to contribute very progressive ideas and are able to, again, provide ideas but have a very practical understanding of how to manifest that in an indirect service to students. So that's the most important part. The other part I remember that's key to remember is that there's tons of reaffirmations for Associated Students, but there's efforts like the food bank have come of the resources provided by AS. So if folks are willing to support the Associated Students, these are types of services that have and will continue to be provided.
Just personally being involved in Associated Students, can you talk about what it's meant for you guys?
For me, actually, it's been a pleasure. I've been involved since my first year. This is my second year. I've been in AS since like my first quarter, and I've loved it. I mean, it's a way of me giving back to my community, because through these organizations, I'm able to just do what I love, you know, giving back to my students and just changing the lives of people. So, and working with Paul and like his office, it's just been amazing, and I thank him for that.
Mm-hmm. And for me, AS has been... AS, in addition to my experiences outside of AS, have been transformational, just because coming from high school, I was one of those very anti-ASB kids. I didn't like the student government kids, and I wasn't that person. But coming here, I understood the legitimacy and the resources and the ability to change that AS can provide, in addition to spaces outside of government as well. But it was a good way to connect the ideas and the potential that I felt that I had with the ability to push ideas forward.
Now, is the food bank project something you were became involved in simply because of your office, or was there a reason? Were you particularly interested in contributing?
I had friends who were involved with opening the UCLA Food Closet mm-hmm. From years prior. So it was something that I had been wanting to work on in the past. But again, I didn't have the legitimacy or the resources to be able to push a project like this. So for me, coming into office was exactly that. It provided me with those two items so that I could be able to navigate the bureaucracy and the administration of the mm-hmm. university. So it would have been possible as a non-elected official, but it was definitely convenient to getting this project moving forward.
That being said, I guess it begs the question with your terms of office coming to an end, is there any threat that the food bank would end with your departure, either of you?
Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, we have funding for, I believe, up to the next 3 years. And I believe this is a project that students are really fond of. I mean, I always hear students saying, this is great. I can't believe that it's going on. And it's so great that you're here now. And I think that the future president and the student leaders in the future will also want to keep it going. And me personally, I still have 2 more years. So this is something I'm going to be behind and just watching over. Just like my baby, you know, just making sure that it's going to be there for the future and all of that.
What are some of the, we talked food bank, but what are some of the items that are available at the AS Food Bank?
Yes, right now we have non-perishable food. So we have canned fruit, canned meat, vegetables, pasta, rice, sauces. We also have toiletries. We're offering toothpaste, toothbrushes, mouthwash, perfumes, just random things that the community donated to us. But it's like so great because these are like items that people really do need. And we actually, most of our donations have came, actually all of our donations have came from our community, and we're thankful for that.
Can you talk a little bit about the community you're talking about that are donating? Who is the community? Who can become involved?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, absolutely anyone can get involved, and we've seen a huge effort from staff across campus in contributing food items and toiletry items. But in addition to that, we've done some sort of canvassing in IV just this past weekend, where we went door knocking, I think only about 2 streets, and within that we were able to fill a small truck full of food. So we're definitely seeing the support and interest of students as well as staff and administrators. And it's a beautiful thing because as a side kind of mission, we're trying to involve as many community stakeholders, community members in a project like this. And a project like this does have that potential of doing exactly that, of bringing people who kind of share the common vision of serving the student body and addressing direct need.
But also as a community member, if you want to get involved, you could actually visit our website at www.as.ucsb.edu/foodbank and find our distribution donation sites on campus, and you actually get a map. Or you could also make monetary contributions through our PayPal account.
Yeah, there are flyers on campus directing students to drop off locations, and I believe we have a link on our website to the food bank website. You've talked about perishable items, and to come back to the question of kind of future plans and expansion on the part of the food bank project, there's also a Santa Barbara chapter of, or Santa Barbara Food Bank. Do you guys envision any association with that larger body?
Mm-hmm. Right now we're actually working to become agency members with the Santa Barbara Food Bank, and what that would entail is that we would gain access to a more stable source of food, mm-hmm. But hopefully eventually fresher produce like dairies and fruits and vegetables. Right now the reason why we're only starting with non-perishable items is the university had advised us to begin with this because it's a little bit more controllable, and they want to see that we're able to build a really efficient distribution mechanism. Mm-hmm. And once we're able to prove that we do have exactly that, then they're willing to consider us moving into providing more fresher produce from what we would be receiving from the Santa Barbara Food Bank as well as from local growers.
Can you tell us again, if people are just tuning in, the location and the times of operation for the food bank?
Yes, it's located in the third floor of the UCEN in room 3167A. And the distribution hours are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
If you're just tuning in, you're on Radio Causeway. A recent survey at UC Santa Barbara polling students found that hundreds of students each day are choosing to skip meals in order to afford their school expenses. In a rapid response, the Associated Students, in concert with other campus organizations, have come together to open the AS Food Bank. Paul Monge Rodriguez, AS President, and Lupe Cruz, AS Commissioner of Student Services, are with us today. Thank you so much. The AS Food Bank open now. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much for having us.
We got a track queued up. It's from Tommy Guerrero off his album Soul Food Taqueria Abiento, the name of the track. You're on Radio Causeway.
and you're listening to Radio Causeway with Bob and Tim, KCSB 91.9 FM.
Santa Barbara!
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. This is Pav.
I'm Tim. You heard a track from Tommy Guerrero, Abiento, the name of the track off the Soul Food Taqueria LP. Heard it also an ID from Handshakes. They'll be playing at Biko Garage this Saturday with Girls in Trouble.
I keep hearing Hanson.
Hanson?
Because of the high-pitched voices.
I don't...
Hanson.
Yeah, not Hanson.
No. I like the Hanson twins from Slapshot.
Yeah, triplets, right?
Yeah. Triplets, not twins.
Yeah, it's Hanson brothers.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
It is time for the Mullet Strange News.
Mullet Strange News time. Got something to get us kicked off. I guess before we even get into the official Mullet Strange, it is the 1 year anniversary of the BP Gulf oil spill. Definitely a lot of mixed reports coming out of there. Some reports saying everything's all better, and others not so much. So it's murky to wade through, and not to be funny, but yeah, it's hard to understand exactly what is the state now. I know the tests for the dispersant are hard to find, the Corexit. Anyways,
well, as you reported a couple weeks back, it's you know, for some people it's bonus season, and that has.
That's right.
They think everything's all right. Best year on record.
Right.
Incoming message.
All right. This reported from the Daily Mail in the UK by Richard Hartley Parkinson from the 15th. As of March 31st, China has effectively banned time travel from TV and film.
Praise God!
Yes, indeed. This means movies like Back to the Future and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure are now off limits to Chinese audiences. Why would Chinese officials be so worried about time travel in their TV and film, you might ask?
Think, I'm wondering.
Think.
Yeah, think, McFly. It turns out this latest crackdown on dissent is on account that the Chinese authorities, quote, want its citizens to uphold the country's values and not promote anything that would rewrite history, end quote. No word on whether or not DeLoreans are now banned from Chinese streets.
Go!
You know, having recently watched Hot Tub Time Machine, I can understand the Chinese sympathies.
Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You don't want Rob Corddry like staying in the past and making, you know, changing the future.
Now it's your turn.
Well, record companies, you know, they do bemoan the fact that, you know, we just celebrated Record Store Day, but record companies generally do bemoan the fact that people are not buying albums as readily or, you know, with as much excitement as they used to.
That's right.
That hasn't, you know, necessarily put a hamper in their profits, for record companies have enjoyed a great deal of success in court by suing individuals who have shared music by trading files through specialized websites that avoid paying copyright licensing fees. LimeWire being one of the more recent companies to be on the receiving end of the record company's legal battles or victories. 13 record companies won a summary judgment last year, and they applied a formula that they believe will, you know, kind of make things all right. And they, you know, they presented it to the court, and the companies demanded that LimeWire pay damages of up to $75 trillion.
Wow.
An amount more than five times the entire national debt. In March 2011, a federal judge said the companies should perhaps modify the formula and lower their expectations.
No kidding!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can't blame them for thinking big.
Oh my goodness, I wish I had the quote from Austin Powers. I'm holding the world ransom for $100 trillion.
It is almost $100 trillion.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Dr. Evil is there.
Holding LimeWire ransom?
Oh boy.
That comes from The American Lawyer, by the way.
How much do I owe you?
Half of nothing.
You mean it's free?
You feeling the love?
It's time for free music pick of the week. This week we've got music coming out, a brand new music coming out of Oakland, California. The band is Broken Cities, off their recently released, as of a couple days ago they made it available. The album is called Flux. The song Decade. You can find tracks always for our free music on radiocausway.org. These are tracks that are free download and use in podcasts, free legal download and use in podcasts.
So Broken Cities is not going to ask us for $75 trillion.
I certainly hope not. Anyways, Broken Cities off their album Flux. It's Decade. You're on Radio Causeway.
Thank you.
How much do I owe you?
Half of nothing.
You mean it's free?
You feeling the love?
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Bob.
That was our Yeah! Free Music Pick of the Week from the Oakland, California-based Broken Cities, brand new record released on their Bandcamp site, Flux, the name of the track, Decade. You can find links to that at radiocauseway.org. Got the whole album up there right now. So what do we got coming up next?
This is Thurston Moore off of his forthcoming record, Demolished Thoughts. It's coming out on Matador, from Matador, on May 24th. And the track, his first release off it, is Benediction. You're listening to Radio Causeway.
Hi, this is Scott from the Growlers, and you're listening to Radio Causeway with Paul and Tim on KCSB 91.9 Santa Barbara.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. This is Pav.
I'm Tim. You just heard a track, brand new music from Explosions in the Sky out of Austin, Texas. The album's coming out in the next couple weeks. Is called Take Care, Take Care, Take Care. The song was Trembling Hands.
And just before that was the North Carolina band SWTHRT, so Sweetheart, with I Am in Misery off of their forthcoming compact disc. And starting things off was Thurston Moore with Benediction off of his forthcoming record, Demolished Thoughts. It's that time to get you ready for Seamus and the Jazz and Blues Cruise, and for us to say goodbye until next week. If you want to catch our Yeah! Free Music Pick or our podcast, you can find it on radiocauseway.org or on kcsb.org or on iTunes.
Special thanks to Lupe Cruz and Paul Monje Rodriguez for coming to talk to us about the new AS Food Bank at UC Santa Barbara. Our theme music was produced by Four Seguin. Next week, we will be talking with representatives from Notes for Notes, a Santa Barbara nonprofit providing youth with free access to musical instruments and instruction so that music can become a profoundly positive influence in their lives. Thanks for listening.
Until next week, be good.
Radio Causeway is a presentation of KCSB Public Affairs. The opinions expressed were those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KCSB, the associated students, or the regents of the University of California.
If you have a comment or wish to respond, please address correspondence to KCSB, University Center, Room 3185A, University of California, Santa Barbara, California, 93106. This is KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara.